families. We're setting them up for success, and God will take them and as they lead their children. Now, I just want to be honoring of young parents and that, and I know I'd like to preach the sermon, but if you do find that your children are niggly and that, please don't be bothered. We understand, and I'm going to be trying to be as quick as possible when it comes to the message today. Amen. I want to preach on today. We continue our journey through Philippians chapter 4, and the title of the message today is The Gifts You Sent. And I want to read from the text from Philippians chapter 4, verse 14 to 19. Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 to 19. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, that no one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credit to your account. I've received full payment and even more. I'm amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And may God and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I don't know how many of you love Christmas. I love Christmas because it's about giving. And I don't think it's always about the size of the gift, but it's actually about the intention of our hearts. And I want to suggest to you today, don't make Christmas about making all the big gifts and that, but actually make it around giving to other people. And I would suggest even now, as we approach very close before Christmas is here, is to start going looking for those gifts. And don't try and buy the big gifts, but buy the gifts that are thoughtful, that are meaningful. But why do we do this of Christmas? Christmas is not what the world has made it out to be, to go and spend all your money. Christmas is to remember the greatest gift that has been given to us, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's why we celebrate it. The Bible says that as we give, we receive. And that's where we have this heart to follow what God's heart is as he gave his son to us. And I want to encourage you, that whole thing of giving, create that culture in your family, is to have a giving culture. And I believe we see in this portion of scripture that the Philippian church had this heart of giving gifts. Paul was in prison, and as I mentioned last week, when they're in prison, they didn't have any of their needs met. It was had to come through gifts to receive that they could be provided for. And here this church got behind Paul and gave. And Paul says that it's an acceptable, pleasing gift as you gave to him. So giving is a very important part of our lives. In Luke chapter 21, verses 1 to 4, Jesus was standing at the temple, and under the Jewish culture, there was a giving culture. And there he was there looking up, and he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. And he saw a poor woman put only two very small copper coins. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth. He said, the poor widow will put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put all she had to live on. And yes, God, he looks and he watches our giving. You know, that might astound you that you think this creator of the heavens and the earth created us and gives us gifts of living. He watches how we live and how we carry our lifestyle. And here he was watching the rich and the poor, and he was commending the poor for how much she was giving. And I want to just say is that God is measuring us, every single one of us. Every one of us has a bank account, and I hope you do, because I think that's the wise way to look after your money. Every one of you has a purse or a wallet, and you are totally in control of your purse and your wallet. And you can determine when to take money out and when to leave it in and when to give and not to give. But you know, that determines who you are. What came out early in the prayer meeting, that we are evaluated out of our fruitfulness. And generosity is an aspect of our fruitfulness and who we are. And you know, if you look in life, people that are blessed and that are happy, you generally find that they are generous people. They've opened up not only their hearts, but they've opened up their wallets to give. And my late father was a man like that. He never looked after himself, but he looked after giving to others. And I remember he drove through Colesberg many, many years ago, and he saw the poor people there that were living in the village there, and he said, no, I need to go back. He came back to Johannesburg. He filled his car with blankets, and he went down there, and he gave to the poor people. Did he get any reward on earth? Maybe not. But their generosity set him free. And I want to encourage us that there's something in our lives that we need to be in a place that we have open hands and giving, not just wanting to receive all the time. It says here in the scripture too is that God will evaluate the individual, but I really do believe he will evaluate the church also, whether we are generous or whether we are stingy. And I think it's a terrible indictment if we are known to be stingy people. You will not walk in freedom if you have a closed hand. There's something in as we open our hands and to give. And I want to just say to parents today is that you need to teach your children to give. Their natural nature is to hold. You go to the playground and they grab that toy and that's mine. It's mine. That will is unregenerative. It has to be changed. And you've got to teach your children to give. And how do they do that? You've got to show them the way. And I'm telling you, we're not perfect and we all have difficulties and there's financial constraints. But we have got to learn to give. And when we learn to give, I'm telling you now, it'll be a freedom. I battle at times. I want to be honest with you. I battle at times to be a giver. I was trained as an accountant and God blessed me for being trained as an accountant. And unfortunately, when you train as an accountant, you learn to work with a budget. And if it's not in the budget, you don't spend it. And God's heart is not always like that. And I have a beautiful wife who is such a generous heart, and she challenges the living daylights out of me at times to want to give. And I have to learn to say, okay, Lord, let's give. And you know what? We've never lacked in her generous heart. And I'm learning to submit to my wife. I am. Why are you smiling at me now, Nikki? The reality is as we learn to give, because I really believe it's God's way of giving. As I said earlier, the greatest gift that God is a giver, John 3:16, for God to love the world that he gave his only begotten son, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God is a giver. And we are called to imitate God, to imitate Christ. And when we do that, he went to the cross and gave himself in himself. He gave everything for us that we could have eternal life and he could come to live inside of us. So as the scripture says there, it's a matter of giving and receiving. It's not a matter of receiving and giving. It's a matter of giving first. I tell you a story. There were some Bible students that were training in Scotland and they were sent out on a project to go and minister and to give the gospel and to share in Scotland. And they were given £10. And the brief was, you're getting £10, you have to go and minister for 4 weeks, but you have to come back and give us £10. And you've got to trust God to provide for you. And what these young students went out and they started to minister and the provisions started to come. And what these young students started to do, they started to take the money that they received and they started to give to God. We call that the tithe. And they started to give God immediately the tithe. And when they had finished the 4 weeks of ministry, they had more than the £10 because God had just amply provided. But the difference there was a team that didn't give the tithe, only wanted to give it at the end, and they had lack. They were in debt at the end to pay. There was a truth, is that when we give to God and we get his heart about things, that's why God gives us to a place, because he realizes he wants to teach us to give. And this thing of tithes and offering is not a law, it's actually a heart and a heart of generosity that he wants to teach us, because it liberates us. It liberates us. And as much as the world will tell you and get you to a place where we're enriching someone, I'm telling you now, God is setting us free and bringing us to place to understand his heart. And I'm telling you, even today, go and start to learn to give and give financially to those around you. And I promise you, you're going to start to see things. There might be family members that are battling in this current South Africa. Get the food parcel. Go and bless them. Go and do things and start to give. It might be a customer that you find is battling. Give. Take money out your pocket and give. Even though you don't even have enough, give. I promise you, God's going to open up the windows of heaven and bless you richly in this matter. As it says there, that it's a fragrant offering. It's acceptable sacrifice. It is pleasing to God. So I ask you, is all giving pleasing to God? I want to say no. When we give a bribe, it's not pleasing to God. Is when we get into corruptible transactions, it is not pleasing to God. That is not giving. That is corruption. And that displeases God. And I want to just encourage us today, we need to learn God's ways. The language of Scripture is very clear about this aspect of giving. And I want to read some scriptures to you just to encourage you. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give and it'll be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured out into your lap, for with the measure you use, it'll be measured to you. And in Malachi, the word in 3:10, it says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. So God's not going to make you do this. You've got to have this generous heart yourself as you believe, as you learn to give. And then Romans 13:7-8 says, give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. You see, the wonderful thing about debt, we were indebted to God because of sin. And none of us could pay the price. Do you know that? Sin, none of us could pay the price. And when Jesus went to the cross and obeyed his Father and died and took sin on himself, he paid for the price for your redemption. He purchased you for God. He paid the full price. He didn't pay a down payment or didn't pay a deposit on the thing. He paid the full price. And that's where God has paid his debts, that we can actually take hold of his goodness and the gift of God today. That's why the receiving of Jesus Christ comes with no cost, but will cost you your very life. It comes with no cost, because he paid it in full. And when we believe upon him, he gives us this free gift of himself. Still today, he gives us of the free gift of himself. And we receive that by faith. So we need to learn to be like Christ. We need to learn to give thanks in all circumstances. We need to learn to give to God through our tithes and offerings. We need to give thanks for the gifts that we've received. And I want to just say there's an aspect of being thankful for the gifts that we have received. We've received salvation. We received the gift of the Holy Spirit. We've seen received gifts of the Holy Spirit. We know the outworking of the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. You received a spouse. You received children. You received family. You received the family of God. And as Craig said, you received the air that we breathe, the sunshine that we have in a daily basis, the homes that we live in. Are you thankful for the pillow that you have on your bed? Do you know how many people do not have a pillow? How many people just sleep on a mat and they use their hand or a rock? We need to be grateful and thankful for what we've been given, because truly we are blessed. Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than receive, from Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Hear what the Lord is saying there. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And Paul said to the Philippians here, I'm looking to what can be credited to your account. God is looking to profit you. As you give, you'll receive a reward. There's a reward that comes to us. In Matthew 10, verse 40-42, he who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who receives a righteous man because he's a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. If anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. And I'm telling you that now. We need to be giving, even to a cup of cold water, to a little one. Give, and you shall receive. So practically, I want to encourage you in this aspect of generosity, in this aspect of being like Christ. Firstly, learn to give. And as I said earlier, learn to teach your children to give. And maybe you might be older here, and you've learned to become stingy. I want to say you need to challenge yourself and learn to be like God and be led by the Spirit of God and learn to give. You know, a generous heart is, again, a free heart. You start to walk in a freedom that you'll never know if you're holding on to it. Don't live by your bank account. Live by how generous you've actually been, and you'll find it'll be even better. Even give when it's hard to give, when you don't have. You know, I want to tell you, your relationship with Jesus, he will get you to a place at times where you don't have, and he'll get you to give. How do you get out of trouble, financial trouble? You've got to learn to give. It's not to get more money and an increase in your salary. Learn to give, because this is a principle that God has put in the heavens. As much as gravity, if you throw something up, it will come down. Same as God put the principle in the heavens and the earth. If you give, you will receive. Now, if you are lacking at this point in time, and there are times of lack, I want to tell you, learn to give. Look for opportunities. Ask God, please give me an opportunity to give. I'm telling you, walk out the door there, there will be an opportunity immediately to learn to give. Remember, God wants to teach us to have a generous, generous heart. And then learn to pray in this aspect. We're all in the same difficulty. South Africa is going through some turbulent times when it comes to our economy. And we all got to deal with this matter of working with our provision. And God is our provider. But I want to say to you, as you pray and you ask God, Jesus taught us to pray, Father, give us today our daily bread. And you know, we in the ministry here, and at times we've had lack too, but I'm telling you, as we have trusted God and we've prayed that prayer, Father, today give us our daily bread, I don't know, supernaturally, God comes and he provides. I can't tell you how, I don't see the money moving the bank account, but it provides. It comes through. And we don't have to get hit up and worried about that thing. Yes, we need to be good stewards of that. But the reality, God comes through in this thing as we pray. And we do what he tells us to do. So learn to pray. We sometimes, I really want to say, is we forget to pray and we forget to ask. If you don't ask, you won't receive also. I'll tell a story. As I said, I love Christmas, and I remember I was a seven-year-old boy, and we lived in Germiston in those days, and I asked Mom and Dad for a bicycle. And Christmas Eve, I went and I peeked around the corner, and I looked into the kitchen, and there they were wrapping up a red bicycle for me. And I'm telling you, that was such a joy to see, because I had asked for a red bicycle, and I got a red bicycle. Is that incredible? I remember Yonggi Cho, Yonggi Cho leads one of the biggest churches in Asia. God said to him too, be specific in your prayers. And at that time, after the Second World War, there was poverty in South Korea, and there wasn't much, and only bicycles you can get were those black bicycles and one of those tough ones. And the Lord said to him, no, you ask what you want. And he got outrageous, and he said, I want one of those fancy American bicycles with the gears and the brakes. And I want it to be yellow. And you know, at that time, color schemes weren't around. It was white or black. That's what you got. And you know what? He got a yellow bicycle with all the gears and all, because he asked. And that's how much our Father loves us. God loves us so dearly. He wants to provide. And I want to just encourage you to ask God. Amen. And then learn to give. I want to just say, as we look to again to the nations of the earth, the nations of the earth that are prospering have learned to give. And companies that are prospering have learned to give. We went to the Dis-Chem Sun City Swim yesterday, and I was talking to one of the lady organizers there. Dis-Chem is blessed because they gave. They gave 300,000 rand to that event because it goes to Little Eden. Such a generous company to do that. And why are they blessed and why are they great? There's something of a giving. There's a heart to give. And I wanted to say, even businesses, look at your businesses to give. Give to your employees. Give to people out there. I promise you, you open up that well, God's going to pour it in. You cannot stop him doing those things. And then give of your time. I want to say one of the greatest things that God has given us is our time. You've got to be a steward of our times. We are all being robbed by busyness and a busy Johannesburg. But if you start to give what belongs to Him, give to God His time. And the first thing is to spend time with Him. Are you spending time with Him? Are you reading your scriptures? Are you praying? These are disciplines in life, not to keep you in bondage, but to set you free. Give time to God. I want to tell you, I found over the years, if I get up in the morning early and spend time with God and actually work together with Him, I have busy days also. And I sometimes think, I don't know how I'm going to get through this day. But I give that time to God. He multiplies the time. As you give time to Him, He multiplies your time. He takes in charge of your diary, all the things that you've got to do, and He schedules your day. And He works that thing out. Give to God His time. Don't rob Him of that time. He loves you. And learn to love Him in that time. Now, that's going to take discipline. Now, I want to say to these young families, you've got young children, and they're going to wake you up at 4:30 in the morning. I don't know where you're going to find that. I remember a story of a lady in England. She had so many children. What she did, she went into the kitchen, she took her apron, she put it over her head, and she had a time with the Lord. It was the only place that she could find to have time with God. You've got to find time. And I'll tell you, your time will not be multiplied. And stop saying you're busy. Because it's a curse. You might have a full schedule, and I've learned to say that. I've got a full day, but I'm not busy, because busy, pardon? Oh, okay. You're busy, and remember what busy is. Busy understands being under Satan's yoke, and you're not under Satan's yoke. You are free. Amen. And then also your businessmen, I want to say, with you're running your businesses, pay your creditors on time. Please, do the recons. Make sure when the recons are done that you don't hold back because you know you've got the paperwork, but you can't afford it. Pay your creditors on time. I was in business before, and I said to the guys, they said, no, we don't have money. I said, we do. We've got to pay them. And we paid our creditors, and I'm telling you now, it opened up the windows of heaven, and the money started to come in. You can't work by worldly methods. You've got to do what God's doing. Give to the receiver of revenue, folk. Pay accurately your tax. If you owe the tax man that amount of money, pay him, please. See it as your giving. Don't see it as a burden to things. See that you're building a nation. Pay your pay as you earn. Pay your VAT. Pay your UAF. Pay your income tax. Pay your corporate tax. I promise you, God will come through. Pay your taxes to the authorities. This is a big one. Pay your ETOL. Now, you're laughing at me because a lot of you are rebellious. Because you're rebelling against the authorities that God's put in place. It's not whether it's right or wrong. It's obeying and giving to those things. So go to the kiosk there, get a tag, and go and pay. I promise you, whether it's right or wrong, honor God. He put the authorities in place. They put the things in place. Yes, things evil taxis there. And we can have an argument about it, but I don't want to argue about it. Pay your tax. Pay your tax. And then give gifts to those around you. Sometimes it's lovely to come home and just go into the shop and then you give your wife a chocolate or a flower. I'm not so good at flowers, eh, Nikki? But a chocolate I am now and again. Take time to give a smile or give a note. Send a WhatsApp. A WhatsApp can drag you down in everything. But send a note to your sweetheart. I love you. You know, that giving of love is an incredible thing. Give a word of encouragement. It's a wonderful, powerful thing. See, God is watching how we give, and I want to encourage you to be givers in all that you do. I want to just read the scripture which teaches us from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 to 19. It says, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. We know that. Their trust should be in God, who really gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up treasure in heaven, a good foundation for the future, so they may experience true life. I want to encourage you and challenge you today. Are you measured by the gifts that you are given? Because Jesus is watching. Jesus is watching. Give to God, give to others, and your life will change according to the scriptures. As Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. When you go and they bury you and on your plaque, they can put there's a generous man or generous woman. Not someone that they're going to write there, he was stingy. Please hear the heart of God in this matter. Amen. Let's close our eyes, please. I'd like to pray with you. And then I also want to ask a very, very important question. We've been speaking about Jesus today as the greatest gift that has been given to us. And maybe you've come here today and you've been invited, and that's what a privilege to be part of that. But maybe you've heard all that's been said today and then you don't have a living, right relationship with the living God. And I want to just say Jesus is here today and he wants to live in your heart. And as you've heard that he gave himself for you today, maybe you in a place today to give yourself to him and allow him to be the Lord of your life. Now, I don't know the battles that you're going on into submitting yourself to him. It's a very real thing because the decision to follow Jesus will cost your life. You will have to change your way. You'll have to learn to follow him. It'll be the greatest blessing of your life, but it'll be the thing that will unearth everything that you hold on to, because Jesus comes to take away your foundation because he wants to be your foundation. And maybe you here today, maybe you know the Lord, but you're not following him and you want to recommit your life to him. Maybe that's you today here, and with no eye looking around. Maybe you've been challenged and you want to make right with God today. If that's you today, I'd like you just to raise your hand if there's anyone here today that'd like to make right with God. Is there anyone here amongst us today? Yes, we see those hands. Anyone else? You're fighting this battle. You want to make right with God. And it's not about your spouse. It's about you, because you need to make right. This is a personal decision between you and God. I just see those hands, and let's just pray. I want to pray for those folk today. If you just want to just stand up, those people that raised your hand, I'd like to pray with you. People that just raised their hands, we want to stand up, please. And if we can ask the folk just to get around them, that we can just pray with them. Franco, can we just, let's just pray. Just want you to say after me, Lord Jesus, I submit to you. And I ask you to be Lord of my life. As I recommit myself to you, will you continue to enable me to follow you, to know you and to know your love, that once again, I would know the fullness of this gift that has been given to me. I ask this now in the name of Jesus. Amen. And for everyone here who's been challenged about giving and wants to be a giver, I want to pray with you. Father, I just pray for every one of us here today. This aspect of a generous heart is not something that comes naturally to any of us. And Father, I want to ask those hands that are raised and even those that are contemplating it, that Lord, that you would teach us to be a giver like you. And help us, Lord, to give with open hands, with open hearts, and to learn to live this life of being generous with what you've given us. That, Lord, that we can have a reward in heaven one day, and that the fullness of your grace will be in and evident in our lives. So, Lord, I just thank you for what you've done amongst us today. Bless the families that have been represented here today. Thank you for the children that have been blessed today. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done in our midst today. May your name be glorified. May you truly be the treasure of our hearts. May you be the fullness of all that we are seeking and desiring now. Don't take your hand off us, Lord. Lead us into the fullness of your grace now, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. For those families here that have come to visit, you're more than welcome to come and join us for a free cappuccino, and there's some celebrations up there. God bless you all. Amen.